I mean, they found a fortune down there. So one of them said, let's keep this to ourselves. Let's just keep it all for ourselves. Let's carry out. But we believe that one of these were Gehazi and his sons. The Bible don't tell us personally who these were. They said three men, three leopards. But we believe that this is Gehazi because he's showing up right here again in this chapter, that it was him and his sons. And Gehazi said, no, we got to do right or something bad going to happen to us. We don't do right. We need to go into the city and tell them what we have found. We have found all this. They've been to the enemy camp, and everybody, I can't read it all to you or explain it all to you, but now I got to jump ahead really fast. But anyway, we see here that this king didn't know much about Elisha. This is a new king. He didn't, you know all the miracles. So this is what he asked in Gehazi. Then the king talked to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Tell me, please, all the great things Elijah had done. He wanted to hear some of them stories. That this other king that just got, that they just killed, just trampled over him, should have took Elisha at his word and say, hey, okay, yeah, by this time tomorrow, yeah, we're going to have plenty, you know, and agreed with him because he had seen so much. But this king had. So this king asked Gehazi, please tell me about Elijah had done. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored dead to life, that there was a woman whose son he had restored. Praise God. Now that word restoration again, restored to life. The enemy had taken the life, appealing to the king for her house. I mean, God had this thing planned so well. Here's Gehazi right in there talking. Now Gehazi got leprosy. Because we read in a chapter over that told us he had gotten leprosy because he had what was on Naaman came on him for lying to the man of God. But we see here that he's in a right place, and this lady is coming back for her land. She was appealing to the king for her house, for her land, and Gehazi said, my Lord, oh look, there's that lady that Elisha raised. There she is right there. And this woman, and this is her son who Elisha restored to life. Amen. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So when the king asked the woman told him just what Gehazi had told him, how God had restored her son. And so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, y'all listen, what she got an officer appointed to her, and this is what the king told the officer to do. Restore all that was hers. Amen. All that was hers. And all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. All the things that has been raised on that land from the time she left it until her return. Give her that too. He assigned a special officer to her. She didn't have to go out and say, hey, this is my land. And he assigned a special officer to her. And he said, restore all. And that is what God is saying to us today. Restore all. Restore that what the enemy came to, oh my word, came to take. Forgive me, Apostle, just come on up. Just come on up. But restoration is for the body of Christ. God will restore.
Amen.
If you cry out, restore.
Yeah.
Restore. It could be for your children. It could be for your family. It could be whatever you need the restoration in.
Yeah.
You know, restore. He said, I'm going to restore some of it, but restore all of it.
Yeah.
And when he heard that story of how Elijah restored her son and all like that, he hadn't heard no stories like that. Mm-hmm. So he told, hey, man, you restore all of that. Mm-hmm. So let's cry out for restoration sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to say restore.
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 That is so accurate. When I believe in restoration.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, if somebody wants your coat, give them your cloak also. You're in the Father's house. Everything you've lost because you were serving Christ, you're going to get it back. Everything. And the Lord is with us. Like Adriana was saying, sometimes you learn that God is with you. You look back at the things that you went through, and you made it with flying colors.
Amen.
And everything that you lost is steadily being restored back to you. When the Lord taught me about sowing and reaping, everything hinges on what you do. This is why it's so important to trust God. When you release your will and do His, whether it's the principles of the Word of God or personal instructions, you're controlling the way you sow. The way you think and believe, that's going to shape the advice you're going to give, the opinions you portray, your lifestyle. You reap from that, whether it's good or bad. A man died and Jesus showed him that your words, the things that you're teaching, he was an atheist professor. He showed him how it was damaging the lives of the students. And when he came back, he started doing things the right way. And it was on Sid Roth, one of the guys that died. You know, he had a series of people who had died, but he showed him the same principle he showed me years ago. Everything you do, whatever you put in motion, it stays in motion. If you give somebody advice, you may forget about it, but if they act on it, if it's good, you're going to be rewarded. If it's detrimental, you are involved with that detriment. So when we trust Him, He thinks of everything. The way you live, conduct yourself, the way you sow is the way you're going to reap. Not to mention, sometimes the Lord needs us to put things in motion so that He can do His part. When this process happens, God can correct things. And people that know God will be strong to do exploits. Daniel talked about it. Jesus said that if you build on the strong, on a solid rock, that's His word. The storms can't blow your house down. If you build on sand, you're gonna have a crash and it's gonna be terrible and devastating. But as we releasing your will to His is a big step. When you receive the revelation that He gives, you receive that revelation because you trust Him. You can't see everything that it'll do, but when every word that you receive of the Holy Spirit, and you plant it down deep in your heart and you act on it, that's when it becomes faith. When you act on those words, you're putting something in motion that can't be reversed. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the anointing, what you put in motion by the anointing. The anointing is time related. You have to match time for it to work right. When he had me to go on the radio, I was trying to get money together, and I didn't just go on the radio when he first told me to. I started my business. I started getting financially prepared so that I wouldn't have struggles. And then he gave me this dream that I told him before. I was at a cleaner's, and an empty hook was coming, and I was going to hang a garment on it when it got in front of me. And the time it got in front of me, I started to hang up the garment, and I woke up. And I said, "Lord, what was that about?" He said, "Obedience must match time or it'll become disobedience. It'll become disobedience." So I knew that I had to go on the radio. That was my limit. I had waited as long as I could wait. And the next week I went on the radio.
How many years have you been on the radio?
It'll be 14 in June. And the first Sunday of June in 06 is when I went on the radio. And now I got a slot right after Reverend Walker, which was very strategic. Reverend Walker was a man of God, Baptist preacher, but a man of God. He named his church Jesus New Bethlehem. He don't play. And I came on right after him. But the week after I did, another teacher, you know, got on there that they would have got that slot if I didn't go on right when I did. I don't know what God did with that. You can't see my ministry. I can't see the results. I don't get reports. But I got a call.
10 years is pretty good showing that you're getting
results. Yeah. But when I have technical difficulty, if something go wrong, they flood the station with calls. I got a call while I was coming back from Georgia. I called them back last night, and the lady wanted me to work on her car. She said, "I listened to you on the radio. That's how I knew you were a mechanic, because one day I mentioned it." People are listening. I interviewed Pastor Jim one time. They got a lot of phone calls here. People are listening. He will never have you do something that's just a dead end. That's not him. If he do something that's big.
And it might even look like a dead end.
It will look like it. If you follow God, it's going to look like a dead end. You can't trust nothing you see. That's why I think he's doing something about trust. There has not been much teaching on trust. And I listen to a lot of ministers, and they don't talk about this stuff. One day, Kenneth Copeland did. He was flying his plane, and he got call letters on his plane, you know. And the Lord spoke to him. The radio controller said, told him what elevation to fly at, where to turn. And he did everything he was told. The Lord said, "Why didn't you get mad?" He said, "Why did you do everything he said to do?" He said, "Well," he said, "I trust." And then he knew what God was getting at. He said, "I trust the radio control." And he knew the Lord wanted him to trust him. The same, trust God like you would trust the radio control.
In other words, if he was take time doing what the radio instructed, he could be in big trouble.
Yeah.
He did it instantly.
He did it without hesitation. He did it with peace and joy. And the Lord showed him these things. He said, "Why did you do that? How come you didn't get mad? Why didn't you quarrel with him?" He asked him those kind of questions. He said, "Because I trust." And when he said the word trust, he knew what God was getting at. Just like Kenneth Hagin showed us, it was the power. He related the power of operating by faith again.
Amen.
To the nations. Not just this one, but every nation that his voice reached. He taught people faith. His students, he bore fruit out to his kind. Rhema is still teaching people about faith. Now we need a teaching on trust and the power of it. And the only way that can be taught is for people to trust God himself. When God says something to you, don't let it drop. Don't let it fall away. Don't forget it. Do what you have to do to remember it and act on it. The revelations that he gives you, they're not insignificant. They're very significant. A lot of people let the great revelations that God gives them, they say, "Well, I'm not that important. I'm not even a preacher." You were washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You're as important as everybody. You're as important as Kenneth Copeland, Smith Wigglesworth, Paul the Apostle, Peter the Apostle, even Jesus Christ. That's how important you are. As he is, so are you in this world.
Amen.
You are equal to Jesus. you're equal to Jesus. What you say has your prayers avail much. What you put in motion stays in. You can demand some things. You can put things in motion. When the Lord give me something to do, the first thing I do is I get a hold of it. You know, I grab a hold of it. I'm not losing this. I learned to do that. And I say, Lord, and sometimes he'll give it to me. And before I write it down, he usually do it when I'm doing something else. And I lose the thought. I say, Lord, give it back. I stop in my tracks. I say, give it back. I remember when Mary said, nothing's lost in the kingdom. I said, Lord, give it back. And when he give it back, I get a hold on it. I write it down. This is trust. I get a hold of it. I grab it. I say, all right. I write it down. Then I ask questions. I get a firm understanding of what he's saying. This is how you have to do God, because he's giving you something that's going to save somebody's life. Every word that he give you, every thought, everything he give you can help somebody live. If he wake you up in the middle of the night and it's on you to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray till you start laughing. Trust him that way. Somebody can die if you don't. Whoa. I worked with a guy and he did all kinds of stuff. Pastor Jim gave a word. He used to give us a word of prophecy in January. He's been doing that ever since I've been here. And that year, the Lord said, I think it was 07, because Lucky died in 08. He said, those that, if you straddle the fence, it's not going to work this year. Mm-hmm. Well, I told Lucky about it, the guy I worked with. And he, for once, he listened to me intently. He didn't walk away. He didn't change it. So he listened. And he listened like that was real important to him. The next year, he got sick and he died. Mm-hmm. But the night that he died, the Lord woke me up and had me praying in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed in the Holy Spirit till I started laughing. I got up, went to the restroom, came back, went to sleep, and I had another dream. I dreamt that he was out of the hospital, back at work, playing jokes like we do. And I saw the road of people on the road of life from all points of time. People that dressed like they were when they died. Roman soldiers in their garments and other people in their garments, the way that they dressed. And I saw Lucky walking that road. And then I went to work and Roger came and said, you know, last night Lucky passed. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, but I had the dream. Me and Sid got to talking, and Sid had the same kind of dream I had. There's two dreams. Praying in the Holy Spirit can make the difference. Either he got saved or rededicated his life. So he made it. I get to see him again. What God bring to your attention, trust him. It's real. It's down to you. He selected you for a purpose. When he give you revelation, he has, if you receive it and act on it, it's going to cause you to receive more to be faithful with. When this happens, you're included in a great work. There's not going to be a grand parade on earth when you follow God. No, most of the time, nobody ever know unless you tell them. But in the kingdom of what you give God here, God will multiply where he is and bless people right here. People don't always tell you when you're a blessing to them. They don't always come back and tell you the advice you gave at the most strategic time in their life helped them. They may be embarrassed. Ministry is personal. Sometimes I see people that they may be on a weakness, and I pray for them, and I pray till I know that it's handled. And the Lord will trust you. When you follow God, you trust in him. You're releasing your will. You may be tired. You may be sleepy. It may be something new to you. People don't they don't let things drop where they have the word. But sometimes the Lord is going to call you to do something, and you may lack the word in that area. That's when you're going to have to trust God and learn. Sometimes you have to learn things and grow and develop, and then he'll prepare you to do whatever you got to do. when the church get to this point, they're going to see the miracles again. Most miracles can't happen till this happens, till people start. See, I can open the Bible, find a promise, stand on it, and receive it. Well, that's my will being done. It's a projection of my will, what I want, which is great. It's in accord to the word. It's not wrong. It's perfect. It's better than doing nothing. But when the Lord says, start doing this, he may tell you to fast. He may tell you to study a certain book. Well, Lord, I want to do something great. But he said, well, start studying Isaiah. This may go on for months. Study Isaiah. Whatever. In fact, he gave me that book a lot. He gave me Isaiah and Jeremiah more than any other book. When I listen to my headset, it'll play all the way to a certain point. Sometimes it'll get to something I needed. And I go back a few chapters and just listen to it, to that section all day long, so that I can cooperate. Because when he gives you something, you have to. This is what helps us to receive. It's like Mary said, we don't see him, but the word gives us a visual.
Amen.
And I'm so glad she said that, because when you tell people to follow God, well, most people that will hear me say, they say, well, I'm seeing. I don't think about that because I'm looking at the word. I'm seeing him through the word. But whatever he give you to do, trust him on it. Don't let it drop.
Amen.
A dog wouldn't let a T-bone steak that fell off the grill drop. He's going to hold on to
wow.
it. It don't matter.
Yeah.
Good
grip.
He's going to get a grip on it. He's going to go to his favorite spot.
He's not going to let you have it.
He's going to growl if you try to take it. It's his now. You can forget it. So that's how you have to be with what God, with any revelation he gives. Sometimes you fit the next move of God. And you have the love. You have the patience. You have the peace. You want it. And that's when God gives you stuff. When the church teach trust like that, people will start doing these things. And the miracles that's going to follow is things that we never seen before. I wouldn't be surprised that we see people walk on water before it's over. But whoever trusts him, they'll do what's necessary, you know. It's not very necessary to walk on water, but God will. Whatever, if he have to do something foolish or unusual, he'll do it. And I don't mean foolish as an anti, we're just something that's out of the ordinary. Jesus came walking on the water. He got their attention. When the Holy Spirit give you something that's new to you, it's the same thing. And when he give me something, sometimes he give me something new. I get excited because I'm about to learn something I don't know. But, and I get excited because I know it's going to work because I trust him.
You said you didn't mean the foolish, but he said he takes the foolish things and
yeah.
find the
can
wise.
Yeah, can confound me. Yeah.
They're so wise and know so much.
He know how to reach you and get your attention. When he said that night, about a few months ago now, he said the dreams, the visions of Henry Gruber, the war visions of Henry Gruber are about to happen. You know, half of me thought I listen to Henry Gruber a lot. That's probably just my mind. You know, I went on to sleep. What I do, and when I had that dream, I'm going to close with this because I know I'm out of time.
Yes.
I heard a noise at a back door, and I went to see what it was. And this back door wasn't like mine. It had the glass, you know, the 6-pound glass on a curtain. I couldn't see who was behind it. I said, who's back there? Time I got on my side of the door, a rifle barrel came through one of the glasses. Right at me, it was right there in the middle of my chest. And I immediately woke up. I couldn't have moved out of his way. If he pulled the trigger, I would have been shot. That was real to me. And I got up. I looked out all my windows to make sure everything in my yard was safe. Then I went and got back in bed. I said, Lord, what was that about? And he said it plain as day. He said, it's at the door. The Russian wars are at the door. Then I had another dream. Now, Henry Gruber talked about the Russians, when they attack, they're going to use vintage planes. They're going to come down by the Atlantic over the Iceland area. They're going to use old vintage planes because the new ones, you know, the nuclear weapons can cut out electricity. They're going to use the old ones that have the mechanical controls. And I saw one, and I saw it shot missiles, and then the sky turned red, and it flew away. You know, I saw this. The Lord showed people things that's going to happen. And it's at the door. And this was only about, 6 weeks now. But anyway, what the Lord showed you, you have to trust Him. That way you'll know what to pray for. You'll know how to warn people. All right, any comments, questions?
No, we don't have
to. Following God is fun. It takes all the pressure off you.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You for all that You're revealing. Again, bless us with Your visions and dreams this week. Help us to know You and go forward, doing all that's in Your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.